Using these, I was able to log into the database and access my existing citizen profile, which had been created when I enrolled for school. I deleted my fingerprints and retinal patterns, then replaced them with those of someone deceased, my father. Then I copied my own fingerprints and retinal patterns into a completely new identity profile that I'd created under the name Bryce Lynch. I made Bryce 22 years old and gave him a brand new social security number, an immaculate credit rating, and a bachelor's degree in computer science. When I wanted to become my old self again, all I had to do was delete the Lynch identity and copy my prints and retinal patterns back over to my original file. Once my new identity was set up, I began searching the Columbus classifieds for a suitable apartment and found a relatively inexpensive room in an old high-rise hotel, a relic from the days when people physically traveled for business and pleasure. The rooms had all been converted into one-room efficiency apartments, and each unit had been modified to meet the very specific needs of a full-time gunter. It had everything I wanted: low rent, a high-end security system, and steady, reliable access to as much electricity as I could afford. Most important, it offered a direct fiber optic connection to the main Oasis server vault, which was located just a few miles away. This was the fastest and most secure type of internet connection available, and since it wasn't provided by IOI or one of its subsidiaries, I wouldn't have to be paranoid about them monitoring my connection or trying to trace my location. I would be safe. I spoke with a rental agent in a chat room, and he showed me around a virtual mock-up of my new digs. The place looked perfect. I rented the room under my new name and paid 6 months' rent up front. That kept the agent from asking any questions. Sometimes, during the late hours of the night, as the bus slowly hummed along the crumbling highway, I removed my visor and stared out the window. I'd never been outside of Oklahoma City before, and I was curious to see what the rest of the country looked like. But the view was perpetually bleak, and each decaying, overcrowded city we rolled through looked just like the last. Finally, after it felt like we'd been crawling along the highway for months, the Columbus skyline appeared on the horizon, glittering like Oz at the end of the yellow brick road. We arrived around sunset, and already there were more electric lights burning in the city than I'd ever seen at one time. I'd read that giant solar arrays were positioned throughout the city, along with two heliostat power plants on its outskirts. They drank in the sun's power all day, stored it, and fed it back out each night. As we pulled into the Columbus bus terminal, my Oasis connection cut out. As I pulled off my visor and filed off the bus with the other passengers, the reality of my situation finally began to hit home. I was now a fugitive, living under an assumed name. Powerful people were out looking for me, people who wanted me dead. As I stepped off the bus, I suddenly felt as though a heavy weight were resting on my chest. I was having a hard time breathing. Maybe I was having a panic attack. I forced myself to take deep breaths and tried to calm down. All I had to do was get to my new apartment, set up my rig, and log back into the Oasis. Then everything would be all right. I would be back in familiar surroundings. I would be safe. I hailed an auto cab and entered my new address on the touchscreen. The synthesized voice of the cab's computer told me the drive would take an estimated 32 minutes with the current traffic conditions. During the ride, I stared out the window at the dark city streets. I still felt lightheaded and anxious. I kept glancing at the meter to see how much farther we had to go. Finally, the cab pulled up in front of my new apartment building, a slate-gray monolith on the banks of the Scioto, just at the edge of the Twin Rivers ghetto. I noticed a discolored outline on the building's facade where the Hilton logo used to be, back when the place had been a hotel. I thumbed my fare and climbed out of the cab. Then I took one last look around, inhaled one final breath of fresh air, and carried my bag through the front door and into the lobby. When I stepped inside the security checkpoint cage, my fingerprints and retinal patterns were scanned, and my new name flashed on the monitor. A green light lit up, and the cage door slid open, allowing me to continue on to the elevators. My apartment was on the 42nd floor, number 4211. The security lock mounted outside required another retinal scan. Then, the door slid open and the interior light switched on. There was no furniture in the cube-shaped room, and only one window. I stepped inside, closed the door, and locked it behind me. Then, I made a silent vow not to go outside again until I had completed my quest. I would abandon the real world altogether until I found the egg.